There was music there in the chariot, like a language that we could all understand. I remember the day I earned my first pay, when I played with a small pickup band. There I spent my youth, and to tell you the truth, I was sad to leave it all behind me. For I learned about life, and I found me a wife in the town I loved so well. Phil Coulter, I suppose, in those lines capture something of the memory of his home place. He goes on to speak towards the end of that song about the music disappearing and the consequences of that, replaced by barbed wire, by the smell of gas and the breeze, by a town brought to its knees. Music, Coulter seems to be saying, was important to his home place. It was a language that spoke its own words and had its own vocabulary, a language that transcended barriers and brought people together. It'd be nice to imagine music having that same role in the coming days here in this community, that it brings people together, literally people who travel, who register their names and take part in the various classes, people who are experienced, some less so, and some totally inexperienced, who come the weekend where to play a tune together, if only one, leading, please God, to others. And that language too, that language of our land, please God, will find its voice and its vocabulary in the coming days. And people who, like myself, struggle to put a few words together might be able to speak a little clearer, a little more coherently, with a little more purpose, come the Dairishachtin. That's what you'd be hoping for. That's what it's about. And I wish this week well, and all who take part in it, and all who come to visit. In the Gospel today, the Lord is sending people out in pairs, his disciples. It's no accident he does that, because what he's saying really is, you need one another. Come the day's end, come evening time, you need someone to talk to about what has happened during the day. You need someone to share the experience with. And so that's the role of tutor and student in these days. The pairing of the expert, the pairing of the one who knows a little more than the other, but the one who wants to learn, the one who wants to improve, the one who wants to acquire some skill. So the pairing of tutor and student is important this week too. The pairing of class and teacher is important, and we pray God's blessing on it. From a personal point of view, I think there's something that said to me in this gospel this weekend, at the chance of Mass last night, and Orla and Lan and us saying this. There's something I think been said to me this weekend about being grateful for the people among whom I live, namely yourselves. The Lord says to the men he's sending out, to the disciples he's sending out, when you go into a town, he says, and they make you welcome, eat what is set before you, cure those who in it who are sick, and say, the kingdom of God is very near to you. Stay in the same house, he said, where you're made welcome. Don't move from house to house. Be at peace there. Let your first words be to the people of the house, peace be with you. And if people of peace live there, your peace will go and rest on them. If not, it'll come back to you. So I think there's something that said to me this morning as priest here in this parish, to say thanks to you for making me feel welcome in your midst over the last number of years. To say thanks to you for making me feel my ministry is of value in your lives. The Lord, I believe, is saying that in this liturgy this weekend, he's saying to me, be thankful to these people who make you welcome. Be thankful to these people among whom you live. I've never felt the need to shake the dust off my feet outside any of your houses or in any of my dealings with you. You've always made me feel part of your story. The talk towards the end of the Gospel about the disciples coming back rejoicing. And I've been thinking about that. Do I come home rejoicing? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I rejoice in the goodness that's in this parish. I rejoice in the many, many decent people who give so freely of themselves. I rejoice in the schools and in the welcome of the children when I visit there. I rejoice in having had the chance to share some of your difficult moments and to share, thankfully, too, some of your most happy and memorable moments. I don't always rejoice in the feeling that at times we're losing people in the parish, losing people from worship, losing people from Sunday Mass. Increasingly, people have been drawn and pulled in other directions, sometimes in the name of sport, sometimes in the names of an activity they're interested in, sometimes in the name of whatever it is that takes people away from church on a Sunday, on a given Sunday. And I know that there are many shades of faith and many shades of practice, and it's not all limited to coming to Mass or not coming to Mass. But coming to Mass, coming to church with your neighbours and friends is certainly a key part of our faith and a key part of our liturgy and our story of faith. So I would not rejoice when at times I feel people have drifted away. People that I know, people that I meet. People who maybe served Mass for me in my earlier years here, who maybe now aren't coming to Mass at all. I don't rejoice in that because I go through moments of self-doubt and wonder, did I say or do anything to send people away? Did I say or do anything to make people disinterested in their faith? And I don't like to think that I'd have done that. It is, of course, possible. It is indeed probable. But it's certainly not my hope. It's not the reason I became a priest. It's not the reason I'm in this parish to distance anyone from the church. My total reason to be here is to encourage people to be part and parcel of all we're doing. So I don't rejoice at times in a generation that seems to have lost the faith, my own age group and people a little younger than me, who maybe as people in their 40s and 50s don't feel the pull or the tug to come to church, don't feel the need to bring their families to church, don't feel any absence if a Sunday passes without attending Mass. I don't rejoice in that, and I question myself about it and think, what more could I be doing? What more do I need to do? What more should I be doing? So I suppose today, like the students coming to the summer school, like the tutors, you're trying to put the rosin on the bow. You're trying to tune the strings. You're trying to get the right stretch on the bowron, the right beat in the hand and in the stick, that in some or another brings music back into our midst again. That music of faith. I imagine priests here in the past sat, stood where I am on a given Sunday, maybe 50, 60 years ago, and this church was filled to the front seat. People were literally keeping each other warm. We talk sometimes about our church has been cold and it's been hard to heat them. In the past, people warmed one another. There were so many beside each other, crammed into seats. I wonder what that was like. I've never really experienced it because in my time as a priest, I suppose the decline has been setting in. But in some or another, maybe we've been asked to address that and to counterbalance that. That probably sounds a little confused, but maybe I'm like the student, as I said, coming to the summer school, looking for answers. Looking for the sound of that tune again that Coulter says was once there in the derriere, like a language we could all understand. I rejoice in all of you who've been here today. I rejoice in most of you who've been here most Sundays. And I hope that we would all rejoice in wanting to have others with us, saying whatever needs to be said, doing whatever needs to be done to encourage people to pick up the pieces again, to play the tune again, to be at one again in faith, in hope, and in love. We can only pray, culture says, for a brand new day, for the town, for the church, for the faith we all love so well.